I'm back.
We're continuing our series this weekend, our Apostles' Creed series, and this is the seventh week of 10. So far, these first 6 weeks have been entirely focused on defining and declaring who God is. 6 weeks of looking at God the Father, Creator, Lord Almighty. Looking at God the Son and Jesus in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, his ongoing ministry, and our belief in God the Holy Spirit. But today in the Creed, a pivot happens. Today, the Creed now turns to show what all of this understanding of who God is means in the concrete, practical realities of our lives. This vertical understanding of God now takes on implications for how we live our lives. And it does so by saying this: I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The Creed is showing us, in light of who God is, the first outworking of that is the church. Because of who God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are, the church is the first step out. And here is where, probably for the first time in the Creed, things can get challenging for us. Because it's not that hard for most of us to declare, I believe in God, the creator of this world, Lord Almighty. It's likely not that hard for us to declare, I believe in Jesus, who was born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died, buried, resurrected. It's not hard for us to declare that as much. It's not hard to declare our belief in the Holy Spirit. But it can be hard for us to say with the same degree of gusto, I believe in the church. Because to declare belief in the church can be costly and difficult. In part because of what New Testament scholar Luke Timothy Johnson says is the scandal of appearances. Where what we see doesn't match what we know and believe. Where what we see in the church doesn't match all of these things we've just declared about who God is. I hear so often of the church's shortcomings, failures, disappointments, and I know just how many of those are real, painful, and wrong. Each week, it seems that there's a new headline, a new storyline, a new scandal within the church, a reality that just absolutely fundamentally betrays Jesus. I know these stories. I've lived through some of these stories. I have failed. I know about the scandal of appearances and these things that happen. And yet, the church is still God's plan. It's still his idea. The church is so important. Like Pastor Dave said, the Bible describes the church as the bride of Christ. And that's why I feel the weight of this weekend so significantly for us all. Because on one hand, there are all kinds of scandals of appearances. And I have friends and I know stories of people whose lives have been torn apart because of scandals of appearances and things that have gone on. And yet on the other hand is the dearly and deeply beloved bride of my Savior. And I want to love what Jesus loves. And I don't think I have to explain very much how important it is to speak well of people's brides. It's an important weekend for us all. So what is the church? Before we declare belief in it, we should know what is it? What is it that we're doing by gathering here today? When you woke up this morning, why did you make the decision to come here today? One author, Nick Perrin, he said, people often treat church like it's just a gathering of Jesus Facebook friends. We just show up. Maybe we show up to get, you know, a spiritual fast food fix, get some food so we can go on our way. The Apostles' Creed has so much more in mind when it declares a belief in the church, and it's all contained in the 11 words I just read that I'll read again. It says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Okay, there's two things there. So I'll break it up. We'll make our way through it. The first one, it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, I told the story of my introduction to the creed many years ago. We were driving down to Kentucky. My dad was like, if you memorize the Apostles' Creed, I'll take you to a Cincinnati Reds game. And I remember getting to this line where we're reading, and I'm like, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And I'm like, Dad, we're Catholic? Well, I didn't know. And he's like, no, we're not Catholic. Well, yes, we are Catholic, but no, we're not Catholic. And he explained to me what this line means. And so let me explain to you all what Holy Catholic means. Because it's not Roman Catholic. It's a lowercase c. You may have noticed when Scott and Heather led us through it at the beginning, there was a little asterisk by Catholic. And on the bottom, it says, in this context, Catholic means universal. Because long before a Catholic was a particular church tradition, it was a word that had a meaning. And when you look up Catholic with a lowercase c in the dictionary, it means comprehensive, all-encompassing, universal. And it's important for us to know that. It's important for you to know that. Week one of this series, I was preaching, I believe. Before we even began the service, someone got up and stormed out, says, we do not believe in the Roman Catholic Church. And was quite upset about that. And it's like, but that's not what this is referring to. What this is referring to is the all-encompassing people of God. It says the holy, lowercase c, Catholic Church, which means holy, not because of how great we are, but because of what Jesus has done. We have been set apart. It's what 1 Peter 2:10 talks about. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. The holy, lowercase c, Catholic Church are all people that have been made the people of God. Those who have been set apart throughout all of time, throughout all of history, the people who have been made the people of God. Revelation 7, 9 and 10, it beautifully shows us this. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That Revelation 7 picture is the Holy Catholic Church. It's not a steeple, it's not a style, it's a people. It's everyone who has been made the family of God. It's all people who have chosen to orient their lives around Jesus throughout time, throughout the world. And so I just wanna say, if your only experience of church is this, what we're doing right now, here, then there is a depth and breadth of beauty beyond anything we could imagine going on around the world right now. I love this place. I love FAC. I love this community. I love you, church. But this is just a portion, of what God is doing around the entire world, of what's going on all over, of what Patton Artis did in Indonesia, in the Middle East. It's just, the FAC Calgary is just a portion of what's going on. And so, like, if I'm being honest, when people will speak ill of the church and just wholesale bash the church, I'm just so tempted to say, like, what do you have against my brothers and sisters around the world that are risking their lives right now to meet in the middle of the night just to pray together? What do you have against friends and partners and brothers and sisters in Christ that have stayed in war-torn countries when everyone else has left? What do you say to my brothers and sisters who have had to leave because of their faith? What do you have against them? You're telling me they're power hungry? Well, not that church. The scandal of Appearance Church. I'm like, yeah. I think Jesus is with you and having troubles with that too. The church is so much more than just one expression. And there are all kinds of communities of faith that we are connected to throughout time, throughout the world. Brothers and sisters who have given up everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. This vision of the people of God should stun us in its beauty, in its breadth. But this vision should also challenge and compel us onwards, because we need to look more like that Revelation 7 picture. Because that picture in Revelation 7, that's the kingdom of God. That's our realized future. That's what every one of us who have oriented our lives around Jesus, that's what we're moving towards. That's our future. And if we don't have people from every tribe, tongue, and people group here, then we're missing out. Especially because the nations of the world are in our city, and too many of those individuals have not made the choice to orient their lives around Jesus on the throne. The church being Catholic is not just Catholic for its universal composition, but because it points to a universal message that reaches all people and reaches all of people. Every part of who we are. And the message of salvation is for all people. And the church, both universal and local here, we are most the church when we reflect an all-encompassing reality, every age, every stage, every nation, women and men, all-encompassing, all of humanity. Here's just one example of why this matters. It was one of my very first weekends as a youth pastor. I was standing in the back of the sanctuary, and worship was going on. And do you guys remember that song, Blessed Be Your Name? Right? Great song. Remember the bridge? You give and take away, you give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. That song was being played. And I remember standing at the back, looking up to the front left, so front left, but front left for me. And I remember seeing this elderly senior woman who had lost her husband, I think that week. She was in church and her hands are raised and she's like, you give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And I just remember being like, what? She lost her husband days before and she's saying, you give, Lord. My heart will choose to say when you take, Lord, blessed be your name. Decades and decades and decades of following Jesus, and she's just saying these things. And then I remember seeing the other side of the sanctuary in our youth section, and there was this guy who had received a crushing blow. He got cut from a team that he wanted to be on, was training to be on, and this teenage guy was hands raised, front of the sanctuary. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. both of their hands raised, singing the same song. And it was true for both of them, but in totally different ways. And I'm like, this is why we need each other. We need the faithful singing and declaring of God's providential sovereignty in our lives after decades and decades and decades of following him. And we need the youthful exuberance that no matter what comes, there is a future where we will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. We need to do this together. It's why I say to my staff team all the time, you know, like for our youth ministry, for example. Yeah, we have youth most Wednesday nights all year long. But if you're wondering when our youth ministry is, it's right now. Because we need young people, students that are declaring, you give and take away, or we press on, or we are the church. We have seniors luncheons on third Thursday of the month, but we need our seniors here to declare the sovereignty of the Lord. We need to do this together, all of us. And it doesn't mean that when we show up on a weekend that we're just performatively singing these songs as a display, but it does mean that we're participating in this together. And we need every one of us to be doing this together. We need people like Pat and Artis, 50 years, to push and encourage and exhort and to challenge us. We need all ages, stages. And that story, that's just like one story about the beauty of different demographics of age being in the room. But it's just as true with language and ethnicities and gender. And it's just as true with the experiences that we have in following Jesus. If we're not multi-demographic, multi-ethnic, multilingual, then we are missing out. We need each other. That's our future. That picture of people orienting their lives around Jesus should inspire and challenge and push all of us onwards. There's one more thing I want to mention with this holy, all-encompassing church and what it means for us practically right now. Because it means that we are not in competition with any other church anywhere. We're not in competition with any other church in Calgary. I am for every church in this city, in this country, in this world. And we should be the biggest champions of every other church. We should champion them, celebrate them, encourage them, bless them, pray for them. Drive by a church, pray for it. I've heard it said that for churches to be in competition with each other is like two ants fighting over who gets to eat the elephant. There's enough for everyone. We should be champions of every church. There's no church enemy here. The only enemy is the enemy, and he's already lost. We're for every church. Every church. Yeah, they have shortcomings, Kyle. So do we. So do we. The creed starts off with this really broad picture of the holy, all-encompassing, universal, Catholic, lowercase c, church. But then it gets really particular and it gets really specific for each and every one of us. And it says, I believe in the communion of saints. At the absolute core of our belief is the understanding that God is a relational, giving, loving God. And what this God has done from the beginning is create a giving, loving, relational community. People that are named after him. And he is building people to be a part of his white hot center of relationship. So to understand what our communion of saints should look like, I want us to look at the beginning of the church. And when we designed this series months and months and months ago, we didn't even realize, admittedly, how perfectly suited this weekend is to talk about the church. Because this weekend is the church's birthday. It's Pentecost weekend, and Brent made the joke last night. He's like, it's Pentecost, not because all of the costs have gone up fivefold, but because it's 50 days after Good Friday and Easter. The church was born this weekend. So here's a picture from the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That happened today, so many years ago. You may know that the book of Acts was written by Luke, the same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And if you put the stories on top of each other, in Luke chapter 2, there's a Spirit-filled birth for the sake of the world. Luke 2 is where Jesus was born. Now, when Luke is writing his follow-up best-selling book, Acts, in Acts chapter 2, he's showing there is another Spirit-filled birth for the sake of the world. And that's the church. And this beautiful and dramatic and curious moment of the church's birth is recorded for us. And I wish I could spend hours on this. And you're like, yeah, I'll pass. I wish I could. But I do want to note one thing. Just one. And that's the fire. The fire. Throughout the story of God's people, fire is regularly symbolic of God's purifying and empowering presence. God's repeatedly described as a consuming fire. There's the burning bush moment with Moses. When God led the Israelite through the desert for 40 years, he led at night by a pillar of fire, and the fire would lead them where they were to go. And when God wanted them to camp out, the pillar of fire would stop. When it was time to move again, the pillar of fire would go. And when God gave Israel the law to orient their community, God spoke to them those things out of the fire. So here, at the birth of the church, God's showing, no longer will I lead you with a pillar of fire, but rather now I will send you with fire, every one of you, upon you. My purifying, empowering presence with you as a member of the church. I will no longer speak to you out of a fire. I will speak through you with fire to the world around you. At Mount Sinai, God shaped his community out of the fire. Now, at Pentecost, God is shaping his people from the inside out and sending them with fire. This is our birthright. This is who we are. This is how we are designed to operate. This is our birthday celebration. I was reflecting today. It's my son's birthday today. He's three. I've already had a birthday party this morning and a birthday breakfast long before coming here. Have some family over later. And I was just reflecting on the drive in. I'm like, I just want my son to know how loved he is. I want him to know who he is and whose he is. And I just had this overwhelming sense that God just wants us, FAC, to know how loved we are, to know who we are, to know whose we are, and how we are to live in this world. Because when we show up here, it's not just about learning. And it's not just about saying hi to people we may know. This is meant to be the visible gathering of God's presence on earth, where his fire comes and rests on us, and we get sent out to the world with his power. That we go with his purifying, empowering presence upon us. That he loves us. That he cares about us. That he's with us. This, what we do here, this is because of Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's for Jesus. And it's to Jesus. When we show up, it's us presenting ourselves before God, saying we're here to glorify you. We show up to bless each other, to lead each other, serve each other. And we gather so that we can scatter to the world around us. I am fundamentally convinced at the core of who I am that God's good design for his people is that we participate in a local church. Not just to attend, but to belong. Participate, take on responsibility, take on ownership. Last weekend, Pastor James, he talked about and preached to us the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit of God empowers believers, all followers of Jesus, for mission, for life together, and for outreach. Oftentimes during a service, if I'm not preaching or if I'm not sitting here with my family, actually pretty much every single weekend service that I'm not in, I do a walk of that very back row. And I just pray. I pray for the worship team. I pray for who's preaching. I pray for you. If I, you know, see someone, I'm like, and I know their name, I'll pray for them by name. But I pray for you in that back little catwalk area. Maybe you've seen me there up top. Several years ago, I was doing that. I was praying and walking. And I was just so challenged and struck by this idea that God gives spiritual gifts to every person that follows him. Every single one. We've been having around 2,000 people a weekend over the last several weekends, somewhere in that neighborhood. And there's not like a definite authoritative list of how many spiritual gifts there are. Some say 7, some say 12, some say 20, some say 22. The New Testament describes a whole lot of gifts that God gives, but there's not like a, this is the authoritative list. I think most of the New Testament is prescriptive rather than like, this is it, or descriptive. Anyway, so I'm up there, and I'm thinking, let's just like, for the sake of easy math this morning, let's just say 2,000 people a weekend, 20 spiritual gifts. And I'm back there praying for you, church. And I just had this overwhelming sense of like the plurality and diversity of gifts represented in this room. I believe when Jesus says, I will build my church, that he means it literally, that he will really, really, truly build us to be his people. And when it talks about the Holy Spirit giving gifts to each person, as God sees fit for the building up of the local body and reaching the world, I believe that that is intentional. I believe in God's wisdom, that he knows what he's doing. And far be it from me to tell God how to build his church, but I can't imagine when he's building this church that he's only gonna build it with like baseboards or windows, that there will be a diversity of things. He's not gonna be only give one gift to 2,000 people. I believe there's a diversity and plurality of gifts represented in this room right now. The gifts that Jesus gives, maybe it's hospitality and you've been given the gift of hospitality. And when you host someone, whether it be at work in your office, whether it be at home, whether it be here, that it is as though Jesus himself was hosting that person. Because Jesus is like, here's my gift to you. Maybe it's a gift of insight, wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, with the same potency of gift that God gives to believers. How many gifts are in this room that are not being lived into and experienced? Gifts of healing, gifts of teaching, gifts of serving, administration. All these gifts, I believe God has given to his people. Gifts to speak languages, interpret languages, so that we as a local church can make our way towards that universal church in Revelation 7. We're not reaching the zenith of what we can as a community if we're not all leaning into the gifts that God has given to each of us. So can I ask, can I gently invite each of you to take on responsibility, to step into the gifts that God has given you for the building up of this place and the world beyond. I think part of God's good design is to commit to a local church, that we take the words of Romans 12 seriously when it says, be devoted to one another in love. That word, the phrase, one another. One pastor said the primary task of the church is to one another. And there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. We read, be committed to one another, live in harmony with one another, honor one another, accept one another, serve one another, bear with one another, stop judging one another, accept one another, greet one another, spur one another on, don't grumble against one another, confess your sins to one another, be concerned for one another, be patient with one another, don't lie to one another. Our life together is meant to be one of one anothering. Now, part of that process of being devoted to one another means that we will be bothered by one another. There will be people that will frustrate you. Maybe it's someone you volunteer with. Maybe it's a kid you're serving. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's me. I hope not, but it might be. You know, you don't have to bear with one another if everything's great. We're meant to live life where we one another with each other. There'll be choices made from someone at some point that you may not agree with. But like, who amongst us even agrees with 100% of the choices we make? Like, I don't even agree with every choice I make for my own personal life. But something important happens when we choose to commit to life together, when we choose to one another. It makes us more like Jesus. One of the ways that we can one another well is by stepping into membership here. That was alluded to before. To go through that process and to figure out, how do we do this well? How do we one another in a way that works well? I meet with people often about church. I hear a lot of tough experiences about local churches, and it is always heartbreaking. People will ask me about FAC. Well, what happens if I come there, or should I come, whatever. And I will almost every single time say, I will not promise you it will be any different here. We may be worse. We may do the exact same thing. I may be like, I can't promise you anything different, but what I can promise you is I will dedicate, and I do dedicate every day of my life trying to do all that I can that this community looks more and more and more like Jesus. And I know so many of us that do that. Rich Villoda said wisely, while it is true we are wounded in community, we are also healed in community. Sometimes the healing may need to be in a different community, but we need community nonetheless. And I long desperately for this place to be a community that is oriented around Jesus together. A place of purifying power where Jesus sends us out. A community where people are healed. So can I invite you to join me and my family as people have taken on responsibility for this community? Can I invite you to step into your gifts here? Figure out what they are to one another here. Maybe you're here and you're like, yeah, FAC's not for me. That's okay. But can you find somewhere else? We as the church, we need you. Find somewhere else, please. Maybe you need to process this. Take your time. That's okay. Maybe you became a member a long time ago and you've atrophied in the commitment. Maybe it's time to step back in. Or maybe you're here and you're like, yep, it's time, I know. And if that's you, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have made it as easy as possible for you to have a membership conversation here today. There's people right now, like literally right now, out on Main Street waiting for you to have a membership conversation to help you get onboarded for that process. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. How easy that conversation can take place could maybe fool you into thinking it's an easy responsibility where you're just ticking a box. If we're going to see this local church reflect the holy, all-encompassing church, people of God, we need to lean in together for the sake of the world, for the sake of our King, for the sake of the kingdom coming in our midst. Jesus has given us all a part to play as we orient our lives around him with his power and his fire and his love. That is our birthright. Will you pray with me? Lord, we look to you, the one who came up with the idea of the church. And we are aware of the scandal of appearances, but we are also aware of your intention to birth a people that are oriented around you. And so I ask that you speak to us today. I ask that you reveal to us what part we may play in this. If it's time for us to be a part of a community to find healing, will you help us have the courage to take a step forward to figure out what that looks like? If it's time to step into one anothering, will you help us do that and help us find our fit to use the gifts that you've given us so that we at FAC Calgary can be all that you've designed and dreamed for us, so we can do everything that you've called us to. We look to you, our Lord, who gave us life to lead and to guide us. We want what you want for our lives, for this world, and for our life together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.